Hey everybody, it's James Lindsay. You're listening to New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic out of woke Marxism that you need to understand so we can stop it. And I want to talk about something I actually brought up. I was recently, if you don't know, on the Joe Rogan podcast. You should go check that out. It's really called the Joe Rogan Experience. I just did that quite recently. So go check that out. I talked about a lot of important things. But as often happens on a podcast like Joe Rogan's, I started to make a point and I got sidetracked. So I'm going to make the point for myself. I started to tell him the story about when I went to China the first time and what I witnessed. And I kind of got half of the story told. So I want to tell the whole thing and do it properly, do what I had intended to do with this. And in the process, what I'm going to do is introduce a new concept to you called neoliberal communism. What I think the model or the system being run in China should be called is neoliberal communism, which obviously is some kind of a fusion between neoliberal corporate models and communism. Obviously, since it's neoliberal communism, the adjective is neoliberal. It is a communist system in China, hence the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, which is communist, that's using neoliberal methods. That's the modifier. Neoliberal describes, it's an adjective here, neoliberal communism describes communism through the means of neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is a corporate means. In fact, neoliberalism probably should be defined in terms of sort of large, unregulated, that's not quite the right word, but we'll go with it for the moment. Corporate, almost monopoly, but set up to where it's working in a public and private partnership with the government so that a lot of big government contracts are going to these corporate entities. And the corporate entities, because of this premises of neoliberalism, will continue to acquire one another or drive their competitors out of business. So they trend toward monopoly. So what this ends up being is this kind of mixture between monopoly capitalism and a crony capitalism. And this is what I'm calling the neoliberal model. And the left has railed about neoliberalism for a long time. Conservatives have railed about neoliberalism for a long time. And kind of the worst, everything that you've ever heard back in the day where the left would rail against Monsanto or the fossil fuel industry or any of these huge corporations, the military-industrial complex is a great example of how this works. They had a point, and that point was that neoliberalism, understood this way, is actually not that good. There's the monopoly aspect and the crony aspect, both of which are problems. And we do want competitive markets that allow people to engage in free enterprise, but we have to correct for monopoly and we have to prevent outright corruption for them to work. I don't want to get lost in talking about neoliberalism. What I want to do is tell you the story that I was telling Joe Rogan. I'm going to get sidetracked again and tell you about the first time I went to China, what I came back thinking. And I didn't have a term for what I was experiencing. And so what I came back and said was that it's like China politically and economically has the absolute worst of both far left-wing politics and far right-wing politics without really having any of the benefits of either. That was the description I gave, I guess, back in 2014 or thereabouts, the first time I went to China, of what I thought China looked like. And I started to give Joe some examples when I was on the Joe Rogan Experience with him. I started to give him some examples of, for example, there was a construction site near the embassy at one point, and they were doing whatever construction, but most of them weren't really working, and the foreman showed up. And he started to say something in Chinese, or somebody did, and they all started running and finding something to do because they had to look busy, even though most of them weren't. And one guy grabbed a hammer and started just hitting the ground at a loss for anything else to do. And he was stared at by the foreman for a minute, and the foreman approved how, that means good, and went on. Because it didn't matter that whether he's doing something productive or not, as long as he looked busy. And this is sort of a communist thing. And I think I told Joe the story of when I went to a bank and they wouldn't change my money. That might have been actually just racism because I'm white. But it's very common in China for people to just not want to do their jobs because it's communist. So they don't really want to. I saw countless people with pointless jobs. They just have jobs to have jobs. Like They had bicycles with brooms tied to the sides of them, and they ride the bicycles up and down the side of the street. What do they do? Like highways even. What are they doing? They're street sweepers. Is that actually accomplishing anything? No. It's keeping them busy. It means that they're working, and it justifies their what amounts to a universal basic income under the Chinese system. There's a lot of stuff like that. There's a lot of this kind of, you know, lazy, not caring. And I'm not calling the people lazy. I'm saying the system makes people not care about doing their work. And because there's no intrinsic reward for doing your job better, or not really, that's very class dependent in China. Whether or not you're in good in the business environment, or you are maybe in good with the party, and then you can rise. And what do you rise in? Well, you rise in this this neoliberal system, this corrupt Potemkin market, where you have the semblance of a market, the appearance of a market, but it's like a Potemkin village is a fake village that they built to make it look like there's a village or whatever. And this, they have a what appears to be a market, but it's really run by the CCP, and it operates at the CCP's pleasure. And so that's a different kind of thing. And so you're able to get crazy rich in that system if you want to. But what you see is this massive, what I saw in 2014, I'll say it this way, is this massive amount of unregulated business. The air pollution is rather striking. The water pollution is rather striking. The disregard for human life is rather striking. People are not taken care of well. It's really a bad system in terms of all of the things that you could imagine it being, pollution and mistreatment of workers and everything else. And I came away from China staring at this, and I was like, how do they have like the worst of right-wing big corporatist politics, which I associated with right-wing because of my experience in the United States with basically the Republican Party being largely a neoliberal party. And then they have the same problem with the big left-wing problems, like this kind of entitlement handout culture. Another big left-wing sign of communism in China. I used to joke that the unofficial national motto of China could be Meiyou. Meiyou means don't have. And so you go to the burger place and it says burger, maybe even in English right there over the thing. And you go up to the window and you say, you want a burger? And they say, Meiyou burger. Don't have burger. And so you say, you want the chicken? And then Meiyou chicken, Meiyouji, or Meiyoujiro, or whatever. And so they're like, we don't have that. We don't have that. We don't have that. You just get so used to hearing don't have, don't have, don't have, don't have. In other words, supply chain problems. That's indicative of a communist system that can't distribute goods and services accordingly. It's not a poverty problem in a city like Beijing, in or say the Beijing International Airport, where you also will experience Meiyou, 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 don't have, don't have, don't have. So this is indicative of like these huge failures. Now, at one point, by the way, I need to make about neoliberalism before I come back to this. That, by the way, was what I kind of wanted to say to Joe, was the mixture of right-wing and left-wing failure as I perceived right and left to mean back in 2014, which was a pretty uninformed understanding of right and left. But what I would now call neoliberal communism is what I was observing, and that's the word that I needed. And that was the point of my story. But at any rate, I need to be more cautious with this point about regulation, because the neoliberal system actually, because of the corporatism buried within it, which veers toward fascism, of course, what it really doesn't not regulate. It does a lot of corrupt regulation. It uses a lot of regulatory capture. That's why we have so many of these DEI and ESG policies here. Those are regulatory. That's a huge regulatory environment. It makes doing business very complicated, very expensive. You have to hire all these specialists. You have to hire all these attorneys. You have to hire all of these officers, political officers for DEI and ESG and sustainability and the rest of it. And that makes doing business very complicated and very expensive. If you want to be able to check off all your boxes, that's a regulatory environment. Not to mention the whole E in ESG is the environmental stuff. So that gets really complicated in a regulatory environment. What in the world is regulatory capture? Well, the idea is that only the big businesses can afford to do all the stuff that makes it so that they can operate under that deeply regulated environment, which means that the smaller businesses can't compete. They get driven to the edge of bankruptcy, but if they were a good idea, they get bought by the big multinationals. And if they were a bad idea, they're allowed to die. Or if they were just a straight competitor, they get squeezed into this position of sell out or die. And that's the idea. This is the, it's kind of like the Walmart big box model where they create a condition in the town. It's not exactly, because I was talking about regulation, but the Walmart big box model is indicative of this too, where they drive everything else out of business by going under margin. And when everything starts to collapse, they start buying up everything that was worth having and letting everything else collapse until they're the only retailer in the area. You can do the same thing with regulation, especially environmental regulations, which can be extremely expensive and onerous to meet. Add in DEI requirements, it's impossible to get work done. Big businesses have a less difficult time dealing with this than small businesses because they have a larger body of resources to draw from. So it allows them to squash competition. It also allows them to force an ideology in through. And in this case, what we're doing in the West is the opposite of neoliberal communism. What they have in China, that was the point of me wanting to tell the story to Joe, was they have neoliberal communism. What we're building here is communist neoliberalism. Our corporations, with their ESG and DEI requirements, are a neoliberal hellhole. They are a corporatist, borderline fascist system. But what's being injected is an ideology, DEI and the ESG stuff, that is overwhelmingly communist. It's easy to describe as communist. It's easy to link back to Marxism. It's easy to tie back to the people who developed it being Marxists. And so what we have in China, what's been built in China, as I talked about with Joe Rogan, with the help of Americans like Henry Kissinger, what was built in China as an economic system should be described as neoliberal communism. They have a communist system with neoliberal characteristics. What we're building to match it in the West, which is crushing our freedom, very simply, is communist neoliberalism. We have a neoliberal system which crushes freedom, that's veering toward fascism. It's working not with a fascist dictator like we're more used to, but with kind of a committee, an oligarchy. And it's veering toward fascism through all the mechanisms of neoliberalism, and it's injecting a communist ideology through its mechanisms of control. Larry Fink talking about forcing behaviors. Well, what are they forcing the behaviors to be? No, they're forcing the behaviors to be in line with this communist ideology or this set of woke communist ideologies. And so that's what's going on big picture in the world. We helped China build itself out of broken, devastating, old school 20th century socialism, what we might call communism 2.0. Communism 1.0 would have been what Marx was advocating for that never really got off the ground. Communism 2.0 is what Lenin and Mao and Stalin were doing, and here and there throughout the world. Communism 3.0 is operating through the neoliberal structure and apparatus. And Kissinger and his group, Rockefeller, met with Deng Xiaoping in China in the late 1970s and early 1980s and helped build this model to make it work in China. That's the beta test for the fusion of neoliberalism and communism. It's neoliberal communism because it's in the communist mold. Deng Xiaoping never said that he abandoned socialism. He certainly never did. He certainly hasn't. It's still called the Chinese Communist Party. Communist is still right in there. And then on the other hand, we're building it out to match in the West using ESG, DEI, sustainability, the Sustainable Development Goals, and all of this, which is building out through the neoliberal apparatus of gigantic financial and corporate control, forced behaviors, aka fascism, to inject a neo-Marxist ideology into the population through its corporations and eventually through, in both cases, a social credit system. So that's the big picture. That was the story I started to relate to Joe Rogan. I didn't finish relating the story, and so now I've told it to you. Neoliberal communism to match communist neoliberalism, and they can work out their contradictions as history progresses once we have the two systems with no competitors.